Before I begin, I hope we have a video clip of a favourite sitcom of mine, Keeping Up Appearances. And this is the first series and the first scene of the series. So let's hope, just watch and enjoy that for a moment. It will become clear in a few moments. Just bear with me.
Oh God, not tonight. Tomorrow morning, I couldn't face Hyacinth. Not tonight.
Now, ladies.
You're new?
Only round here, lady.
Have you nothing for this address?
Sorry.
I'd be greatly obliged if you'd make quite sure. There's usually something for a Mrs. Richard Bouquet.
How do you spell Bouquet?
B-U-C-K-E-T.
What?
B-U-C-K-E-T.
Oh, bucket.
It's Bouquet.
Well, I'm sorry, lady. There's nothing here for a bouquet.
Nothing for this address. And yet you have something for next door. I find that very strange.
I can't help that, lady.
But people will tell you. It's common knowledge I receive more mail than these next door. There must be a card from my sister in Tenerife. She's back home, of course, but we're still waiting for the card.
Anything wrong, Hyacinth?
He's mislaid my letters at the sorting office. This would never have happened with my former postman. You will remember, Elizabeth, that you're invited this evening to my candlelight supper.
It's engraved on my mind, Hyacinth.
Telephone, dear. You want it on the phone. I think it's urgent. I'm not offering an opinion. That's what she said.
Yes, don't shout in that excitable manner outdoors, Richard. I don't like you getting excited outdoors. Morning, Major!
Fine gone, woman! You can drive a man mad looking so attractive so early in the day.
Major! You'll not forget my little candlelight supper this evening.
19:30 hours. I'll be there, you minx.
You can always tell breeding.
The phone, Hyacinth. I think it's urgent. Hmm? It's about your father.
Well, I expect you didn't expect to see that when you came into church this morning. Now, I expect you're wondering, scratching your head, what on earth? This is how on earth I'm going to link this together. I know one or two people were wondering when they were doing a preview of the video, how on earth it was going to link together this morning. Well, as I was preparing this sermon this week, Keeping Up Appearances came to mind. And in fact, when reading the opening verses of 1 to 6 of Luke 14, we see that, in a sense, Jesus had been invited to a candlelight supper at the Pharisee's house on the Sabbath. Now, the Pharisees, as I kept reading the passage, the Pharisees kept reminding me a little bit of Hyacinth's bouquet, or Hyacinth's bucket. They were all puffed up with their own self-importance. They were snob social climbers. In fact, they were all about show. To the Pharisees, keeping up appearances and their status was vitally important, and usually, sadly, at the expense of others less fortunate than themselves. So why was Jesus there? Well, we know from his early ministry, Jesus loved going to parties, he loved going to weddings, he loved spending time with people from all walks of life. And he even spent time in the home of one of his enemies, like he was doing here. But why was an enemy of Jesus being invited to a Pharisee's house? Well, as has already been alluded to, the Pharisees wanted to watch him closely to see what he would do and say. And they didn't have to wait too long, did they? because he soon began questioning them about whether it was right or not to heal on the Sabbath, or whether it was right or not to help someone who was in need. When he put that question, those questions to him, they couldn't answer. So he took the matter into his own hands and then healed a man with swollen limbs on that very day, on the Sabbath, to challenge their thinking processes. Then he doesn't stop there, because he had some advice for those who were at the dinner with him to challenge their behavior. In verses 7 to 11, Jesus told a parable of a wedding feast to challenge those who he saw taking places on the top table to stop doing so. In other words, to be humble, to sit further down and wait to be asked, wait to be exalted, to be moved to a higher place up the table where the VIPs were, and to save them from the public embarrassment of being asked to move later. Jesus said this to show that God does not want people to be proud, and that he gives honor to humble people. No one has the right to make themselves more important in God's kingdom. Then we come to verses 12 to 14, where today's reading begins, that Andrew read beautifully for us, where Jesus gives advice to his hosts. Here he is basically saying, don't just invite your distinguished and well-connected family members, friends and neighbours all the time to your banquets, but also invite the poor, the crippled, the lame and the blind as well. Sadly, these were the people the Jewish leaders generally ignored because of their lowly status and their inability to pay, their inability to support themselves physically and financially. Again, he did this to challenge their puffed-up attitudes and to highlight that, in contrast, a little humility, a little kindness and provision for those most in need would be ultimately rewarded, as God would pay them back with the glorious resurrection to eternal life on that appointed day when Jesus returned once again. Jesus said all this because he wanted them to be generous hosts, and he wanted to, in effect, throughout the rule book, throughout the etiquette book of how they'd been living in the past, and live in the way that Jesus wanted them to live now. Jesus then drives his point home further by telling of the parable after another guest sitting at the table in verse 15 says, blessed is the one who will eat the feast at the kingdom of God. This person may have been someone who desired to be at the Messiah's great dinner. It is probable, however, that he was a person like a Pharisee. He was confident that he would be there himself one day. Jesus then told the parable of the great dinner in verses 16 to 23 that was about an invitation. The people had to reply in the present time, not in the future. It was the custom for a host to give a second invitation after the first one. Someone might accept the first invitation and then refuse the second one. Then they would be insulting the host, in effect. The first man made the excuse that he must look at his field that he'd bought. He may have bought the field and he'd not yet seen it, but he could at least wait a few days, couldn't he? The second man, who bought new animals, could also have waited. He too would have been foolish to buy the animals if he hadn't seen them. Usually when you go to an animal auction, you go to see the breeding of the animal and if the animal's healthy. So he was a bit foolish in not going to see them, but he could at least wait for a few days. Perhaps the third man, newly married third man, referred to the law in Deuteronomy 24 verse 5. This law allowed a man freedom from military service for a year after his marriage. But it did not forbid social contacts. He had accepted the invitation. The generous host would have welcomed his wife too. The man did not even say sorry that he was to refuse it. So the Jews, who cared more about their own religious rules, were like the people in verses 18 to 20, like the people who gave the excuses. Jesus was like the servant who went out to remind them of the invitation. He reminded them that God had called them to come into his kingdom as he was sitting with them at the banquet. The people from the city in verse 21 were those people whom the Pharisees called sinners. They were people like tax collectors and other people who did not keep the religious rules. They were despised and ostracized for their actions rather than being helped or valued. The hedges and bushes along the roads and country lanes in verse 23 provided shelter for the homeless. Because of their status, they might doubt that the host of the great dinner wouldn't want them there. So it is up to the servant to persuade them with love, but not in force. I love that picture of the servant going in love and actually trying to persuade them rather than just forcing them to keep pressurizing them to come. So here Jesus is referring to the Gentiles, the non-Jewish nationals, those non-conformists. And that he gives reassurance that there will be room for everyone. There will be room for everyone in God's kingdom. So what's our response to that today? Well, in verse 24, where it says you is plural. Jesus is, as I said, Jesus is speaking to everyone. Jesus is speaking to all the guests and to everyone who will hear his words in subsequent generations and perhaps read them in the Bible like we're reading this morning. Jesus is speaking to you and me today. Jesus is speaking to us directly today, and it's important that we accept his invitation, if we haven't already done so, to welcome him into our hearts and lives. If we refuse it and make excuses like some of the Pharisees or some of the people were making in the parable, we lose that opportunity to enjoy life with God in his kingdom, the strength that we have today and the great joy and promise that we have for tomorrow. So I guess our first response is, and in keeping with our current sermon series, is Jesus says to each one of us, come as you are. It's not about being like Hyacinth, about dressing up, putting on an act, and saying we are fine. That stands for feelings inside, not expressed, when perhaps we are feeling anything but. We can come to Jesus in any, however we're feeling, from whatever we've come from this past week, whatever we're experiencing at the moment, we can come to Jesus, we can rest in his presence. He takes that burden from us and his yoke is light. We can be encouraged by that. It's not about making excuses to get out of the invitation. The very day we don't feel like coming to church is the day we should actually come, because we then find help and support and fellowship from one another. Jesus invites us in love and forcibly and not forcibly to come as we are today in this place, to accept his invitation, to say yes to him and allow him into our hearts and lives. Believe me, folks, it's the best thing. It's the best invitation you can ever accept in your life. I accepted that invitation in 2011. I have not looked back since. If you'd have said to me in 2011 that I'd be standing up here speaking to you, I would have laughed. That's how God can change and transform lives. He changed the life around 180 degrees from where I was. Put me back on the path walking with him. It's so good that I can just say to you, accept that invitation now before it's too late. You will not regret it. So Jesus says to each one of us, come as you are. Come just as you are. And I guess Jesus is also saying to us today, to each one of us, as we look to try and help each other and maybe grow the church, we can invite others. We can pass on a message, invite others to come just as they are. These church services, I know you do midweek life groups and other social and special events, are an opportunity to invite those from the community living around us, those we know who wouldn't normally come to church. An opportunity to invite new people and to get to know them and to meet them where they are in their lives. Well, you're doing that already, so be very encouraged. I know there are people not here today because of different things going on in their lives, but that's a way we can come together both here and during the week and on the phone and in various other times to support and encourage one another and build each other up. So be very encouraged by that, folks. So Jesus wants us to be generous hosts and loving servants in our efforts to do so, inviting in a loving but non-pressuring and non-judgmental way. One of the things I've noticed when I was in ministry at White House Baptist Church was that when we publicise church events, through handing out invites or flyers or maybe posting on Facebook, was that sometimes our neighbours respond in a way that they didn't think that they, that because it's a Baptist church, they wouldn't be welcome because they weren't a member. They didn't think it was for them. So in a sense, we had to quickly go back and reaffirm, like the servant had to go out in the parable, to go and affirm a second time that in fact, and to try to persuade them to come, that they know it's for everybody. This event that we're doing is what we want you to come and experience what it's like to be part of our fellowship together. So it's a constant thing of an invite and then reaffirming that invite. It's not about giving one and then stopping. It's actually reaffirming, just to encourage and also to remind people when things are happening as well. It's difficult, but that is a challenge for all churches, I think, in this current environment and world that we live in, to try and encourage people to join with each one of us. So inviting people and affirming Jesus' message to come as you are is vitally important. Indeed, in doing so, it helps to fulfill the church mission statement here, which is changing lives through the good news of Jesus Christ. Our invitations provide us with opportunities to share the good news of Jesus with our friends, our families, our work colleagues, and indeed our neighbours. It helps break down barriers. It helps correct misconceptions about what we do inside the building, what we do when we meet together. And also what it means to know Jesus and to be one of his disciples. What it's like to let him in to our hearts and lives. And what it's like to be adopted into his loving family and enter God's kingdom. It's great, isn't it? We have that reassurance. We're adopted into a much bigger family. We may have come from a smaller family, but when we obey the will of God, we become brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers in Christ. It's great, isn't it? Let's be encouraged by being part of the big family of God. Above all, our invite to come to Jesus is unconditional. And indeed, the invites we offer out in Jesus' name are unconditional. It's not about keeping up appearances. Our message should be, you don't have to come as Hyacinth Bouquet. You can come as Hyacinth Bucket. I bet Hyacinth would have much more fun and enjoy herself far more if she got rid of all that pretense, all those airs and graces, and actually just enjoyed time with her family and friends. Come as you are. Come as Hyacinth Bucket today. Because Jesus is fine with that. Because he says, simply, come as you are. Amen.